For our scripture reading, we turn tonight once again to the psalm that we are studying with the help of the Lord, Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins. Blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Thus far God's precious word to us tonight. And have you ever wondered, how can it be that a murderer of several people, an adulterer, and maybe even worse than that, is forgiven? This is a question that outrages people. How can it be? It puzzles people. And maybe it pains people here tonight, who have seen it from close up, what ruins and wreckage that brings. Maybe there is someone here tonight who says, well, if that person were close to me, I would never forgive him. I hope not. You see, sin is miserable and is awful. And yet, maybe there is here someone tonight who says, the fact that David can be forgiven rejoices my heart. Oh, that you come and listen tonight for your own soul to that song of true repentance, the song that for a proud man is not beautiful, it's ugly. But for a humbled man, it is a beautiful song. It is a song that is actually sang when we sing it for the glory of God. It's for the praise of His glorious name. It's only for Him. when we come to the Lord with a broken heart, when we find forgiveness full and free and mercy that abounds in this song, because as we are going to listen to this song of repentance, we will hear David sing this song, and we will hear that as David sings, he gains more and more assurance. And maybe there's someone here tonight, I struggle with assurance. Well, come along for a moment. Listen to this song and see, to what extent can you sing along with this song? To what extent is this song a song that is really coming from your heart too? What are the desires that David had? Can you come along and sing along tonight? So as we consider the rest of Psalms 51 together, a song of true repentance, we saw that this morning, we saw how David was entrapped in sin before true repentance, and then we saw how he experienced repentance in his soul. And tonight we would like to look at five evidences that come in our hearts, longings, desires, that show that we have truly repented, that show that our repentance is true. So we have seen in verses 1 through 6 the ugliness of sin. And now, as we sing along with David tonight, we will see that for the glory of God, when we repent, there's restoration. Yes, there is joy in the service of the Lord. So let's look at these five evidences as we consider the evidences of true repentance. Already David had a very deep desire for forgiveness. We've heard it this morning, haven't we? But the first evidence of true repentance is that you and I have a deep longing for forgiveness. And we will see a little more of that in the next verses of this psalm. And so, if you see these things in your heart by the grace of God, may you gain the same assurances that we will hear that David has. So let's listen to verses 7 through 9. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. So we hear David here plead some of the same things we heard this morning. He pleads that he would be purged with hyssop. He pleads that the Lord would wash him. He pleads that the Lord would not hide his face from him. He pleads that the Lord would blot out all his iniquities. First of all then, purged with hyssop, what does that mean? Well, then maybe David had been in the temple and he had seen that there came one of those lepers. Those men who had to call out unclean, unclean as soon as they came in close to other people, because they had this contagious disease that spread over their body that was awful and that led often to their death. But when God came and in His mercy heal this incurable disease in the eyes of people, and this leper would come to the temple and come to the priest, what did the priest do? He would take some hyssop. He would take some blood and he would sprinkle it over the leprous sinner so that he could once again walk around in society. When David says here, cleanse me with hyssop, undoubtedly that is the picture that has come to his mind. I am that leper. I am that leper. I need to be shunned from God and from other people. I need to cry out, unclean, unclean. But, oh Lord, purge me with hyssop. and I shall be clean. Purge me. Take hyssop and say to me that I'm clean. That I once again can move around freely. Oh, I'm such a sinner. Does that resonate with your heart tonight? But not only might David have thought about this incident, maybe he has seen it in the temple, but we think also of that dark night, children. That dark night when they came out of Egypt with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. You remember that one night, the angel of destruction would come to the houses, and there needed to be blood. Otherwise, the firstborn would die. Do you remember that? That dark night. A father would take a lamb, and that would become the Passover lamb, but he would take also the blood and a bundle of hyssop. And he would apply that blood to the doorpost of the house. And so the people would be spared in the house. The firstborn would be spared, though he deserved death. And so he was brought out with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. And David is saying here when he says these words, Lord, that's what I need. I need blood on the doorposts of my heart. I need to hide behind the blood so that I know that God will pass over me and will not hold me guilty. Purge me with hyssop. Literally, it means that he says, unsin me with hyssop. Take away this sin in my heart. I am like such a leper. I am like those who hide behind the blood. I want to hide behind the blood. How can God pass over David? How can he pass over our sin? Well, we look away from David to the Savior of David, and we read in Romans, don't we, that there is only redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. How does that work? God has passed over the sins in the past, and in His long suffering has taken David's sin, and as all the Old Testament saints, and He passed over so that these sins of David could be laid upon Christ, who bore the sins of His people, so that Paul can write in Romans 3 verse 26, I say at this time his righteousness that he might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. So that all those who come and trust in the blood of Jesus Christ will find God to be unjust, and themselves, by the grace of God, by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, justified, no longer guilty, no longer condemned. Unsin me with hyssop, David says. He trusts in the blood. He trusts in the power of God to cleanse him. Do you have such faith tonight? Do you know it's all in His hands? I can't, but it is in His hands. Well, if you are looking to the blood of Jesus Christ tonight, you can be as certain as David was. That when you look away, he could say, I shall be clean. I shall be clean. Secondly, he says, wash me. We heard it this morning in verse 2. Wash me thoroughly. There we saw how sin is this blot that is so deeply ingrained as in the fabric of our lives. There's only one detergent, the strongest detergent, the blood of Jesus Christ. But we think a little more about washing. Wash me thoroughly. What is it? We recently went somewhere to a museum and they had this washboard. They took a piece of cloth and there's a stain here, and they rub it and they scrub it. Wash me thoroughly. David is saying, come with thy power and take that stain out of the fabric of my life. Wash me thoroughly. Scrub me. As it were on a washboard. And David knows that when God does that in your and my life, he can be assured that he will be as white as snow. I shall be whiter than snow, he says. Well, it's summer now, but in winter we know that, right? We see the snow fall. We look at the snow. It's so, especially when the sun shines upon it, and it's no cars in the area, and you just see it. It's just glistening. It's so beautiful, so bright, so white. Now, what is whiter than snow? David is saying to us tonight. A sinner saved by grace, a sinner looking to the blood of Jesus Christ, is whiter than snow. Do you believe it? Isn't that glorious? Sinners washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, hiding behind His blood, will be whiter than snow. How glorious. In verse 9 he says, hide thy face from my sin. So children, he's asking, Lord, please don't look at my sin anymore. Have you ever prayed that, children? Don't look at my sin anymore. Or are you still hiding away? Can I trust the Lord? David says here, knowing his sin, he says, Lord, hide thy face. Now hide not thy face from, hide thy face from my sin. Hide not thy face from me, he's implying. How can that be? Those terrible sins, David, you're a murderer. How can God hide His face from your and my sin? You look to Calvary, what did He do? He hid His face from the one He loved so dearly, Jesus Christ, and there He hangs in the dark. He turns away His face of favor so that He can turn His face toward a sinner and have favor upon sinners who are full of dark blots of iniquity. That's why. Oh, that you would see His smile tonight upon those who trust in the blood of Jesus Christ. And David adds, blot out my iniquities. Do we remember it from this morning? Wipe out the record of my sin. And now he adds one little word, all my sin. Is that your desire too tonight? Not just a few sins, this one and this one. No, all my sin, Lord. Wipe the record of my sin away. How we need it. Why does David want this? Because he knows that there's nothing better than to rejoice in the Lord. Verse 8, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. He wants joy in his soul. Is there someone here tonight for joy, Lord, rejoicing in thy salvation, in everything that thou hast finished? He wants to be restored. You know, when we are burdened with sin, maybe there is someone here with a load on your back, like Christian. Where do you lose the burden of your guilt when you come to Golgotha? When Christian saw that cross, he saw this, he felt that the burden of his sin tumbled in the grave, never to be seen. Oh, that's what God does when He forgives us. And that brings joy to our soul. Let me hear joy. Let me hear gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. That's the first evidence of true repentance. Can you say, these, by the grace of God, are my desires? Yes, Lord, this is what I desire. I feel my need for deep cleansing. I have a deep longing for forgiveness. A second one is, you are truly repenting when you have a deep longing for spiritual renewal. Verses 10 through 12. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. David is longing here, don't you hear, for spiritual renewal. Is there someone here who says, I'm dry, Lord. I feel so spiritually dry. I need to be renewed. Then come and pray along these words. Create in me, O Lord, a new heart. Renew, restore, forgive. David longs that God would come and do something inside of him. Forgiving, yes, but inside, a deeper work in the heart. You see, some people are just afraid that if a sinner is forgiven, that he will right turn back to his sins. And if there's not a true work of God, that happens sometimes. And that's why some people say, well, why does God forgive? Isn't it license to sin? No. Do you hear here how David says this? He has not just a desire to be forgiven. He has a desire to be restored and renewed and to have this spiritual renewal in his heart and soul, something deeper. He says, create in me a clean heart. This word create, that reminds us immediately of who God is. He is the creator of heaven and earth. And David says there needs to be a work that is as marvelous as God's creation in my heart. Create in me, Lord. This is something that I can do. Surely I can do it. But thou art able to do it, Lord. Create in me a clean heart. A heart that the heart is our control center, our desires. David wants new desires. David wants to have new actions, a new will, a restored will. A heart that is focused on God and God alone. Is that your cry tonight? Your heart's cry? Lord, I know my sin and I want a deeper work in my heart. Cleanse me, O Lord. Create in me a clean heart. You know, you would say, well, David, you knew you were forgiven. You were a child of God, right? But every time we stare our sins once again in the face as a child of God, we realize, we feel like it needs to be done all over again. Have you had that sometimes? That you feel like the Lord needs to begin a new work and then you pray, don't you? Create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Renew a right spirit within me. Renew. I need it once again. I need it afresh. David is asking, please, Lord, change my spirit, make it better than before. I want a right spirit. Now, this word right means a steadfast spirit. What does that mean? Well, that means that David has a desire to be stronger in resisting against sin. Is that your desire tonight too? I want more power to resist sin. I don't want my sin to be swept under the rug. I don't want to be swept away so easily with temptations, Lord. I need power in my soul. I want a spirit that is calm and trusting and pressing on in the path of holiness. Does that resonate with your soul tonight? Renew in me a right spirit, a spirit that seeks to please God. That's what every true repenting sinner longs for deep down in our soul. Lord, give me a right spirit. You're focused on holiness. Holiness. And then in verse 12, David also prays, restore unto me the joy of salvation. We heard something about joy before already. But David knew it. Do you know it too? I once had it. Maybe there's some here tonight. I once had this joy that filled and flooded my heart. It was such beautiful joy, such pure joy. And David says, I want that again, Lord. And David realizes that it is sin that clogs our hearts so that we can't rejoice. It's like something is plugging our hearts and plugging our joy. It's sin. It's sin that hinders our joy in God. It's the desire of every saved soul to delight in God, to rejoice in God, to rejoice in everything that He is in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's sin that clogs our joy. Oh, David knows the right address tonight. Do you? Are you coming to the same address? My God, my exceeding joy, he said in Psalm 43. My exceeding joy. And you're at the right address. Do you see how deeply David desires true repentance? Not just, oh, I'm forgiven and now I can move on. No, it's serious. He takes sin very serious. Listen to verse 11. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Do you see how serious David takes his sin? He knows that if God does according to his sin and takes away his Holy Spirit, he will be a castaway, just like Saul. I need God's Holy Spirit. I need spiritual renewal. And that is a deep longing. When we truly repent, we desire this deep work of God's Spirit in our souls. David knew what happened to Saul. What happened to Saul? Spirit was taken away from him. His kingship, that was the spirit that rested upon him because of his kingship. But he was also a castaway. Well, how is that possible? Why does God's Spirit withdraw? Well, let's look at Saul's life for a moment. What happened? What made Saul a castaway? Well, he didn't trust the Lord fully. He had a lack of trust. And was fearful to fail. Why? Because he wanted to do it all in his own strength. In his own power. How about you and me? Saul's life was driven not by godly desires, but by circumstances that happened around him. This question, how can I glorify God in this or that situation? And this desire that we heard this morning, the wisdom that needs to be in our souls, that was not in Saul's mind and heart. He wasn't concerned about the glory of God. He just responded to circumstances. What about you and me? Saul constantly assumed that other people are the problem. He never really truly came to repentance. He sometimes mumbled some words that sounded like, sorry, I'm a sinner. But he never came to that moment of brokenness and owning of his sin, which we heard this morning so clearly about from David. Who did that? Have you ever learned to say, I'm wrong, please forgive me? Saul was driven by what? Do you remember that time that he had just disobeyed? And then what was his request to Samuel? He said, Samuel, now honor me before the people, please, so that the people at least think good of me. That was his consuming desire, what people thought about him. His image. What about you and me? Is it all about looking good on the outside? Or is it more? And so he wanted to pray and do these religious activities so that he could cover up his heart problem, disobedience to God. I hope there's none like that here tonight. Because that means that God cannot come with His Holy Spirit. Yes, God can overcome those sins. But if you do not repent, you're a castaway. You're a castaway. That's serious. And if you have listened to these descriptions of Saul tonight and you say honestly before the Lord, Lord, I see too much of those kind of sins. The seeds of those sins are in my heart. Then why don't you come along with David and say, create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Why don't you pray tonight, driven by the Word of God and encouraged by the Word of God, to come along with David and say, Lord, please do not take away Thy Holy Spirit. Give me Thy Holy Spirit, Lord, tonight. So that the Holy Spirit would take these sins away, these deceitful desires that are in my heart. Renew me spiritually. I desperately need and desire the Holy Spirit to rest upon me, Lord. And David adds something that relates to the work of the Holy Spirit in verse 12. That should encourage every sinner tonight. Here. He says, uphold me with Thy free spirit. Now, children, ask this question in your mind for a moment. Who are the people that need to be upheld? People who are weak, who can't do it themselves. Those are the people that need to be upheld, strengthened. And David is saying here, uphold me, strengthen me, hold me up by the Holy Spirit. He calls him here the free spirit. That means the willing spirit. So David has this picture in mind. Lord, uphold me. I am so desperately weak. But there is one power that is so far stronger. And I want to lean my whole weight upon the power of the Holy Spirit tonight. That's what you and I need for a godly life. To lean upon the heavy upon the Lord and His Holy Spirit. My spirit is crooked. It goes the wrong way. But I need a steadfast spirit. And I need the Spirit of God to lean on. And hang on to. My whole weight. On the strong one. He's full of power. Full of glory. And he calls him God's free spirit, God's willing spirit. That must encourage every weak sinner here tonight. There is a stronger one than I, and that stronger one than I is willing. Let it sink in for a moment. The Spirit is willing. God's Spirit. Don't you remember those words of the Lord Jesus Christ where He showed that willingness? A father. Earthly father, caring for his children. If a child asks for a sandwich, let's say a sandwich, is he going to go and give him a stone? No. How much more your Heavenly Father is willing to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. Willing to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. Do you hear it? Willing Spirit. Willing Spirit. He gives good gifts to those who feel themselves to be desperately weak tonight. The same Spirit the Lord Jesus talked about when He said to His disciples, "Abide in Me and I in you, so will you bear much fruit." I'm going to give you the Comforter who will abide with you. That Spirit that comes and convicts the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. That shows Christ, makes the things known that are of Christ. That same Spirit, that Comforter, that comes alongside, that dwells in a believer. That is the free Spirit. That is the willing Spirit to be given to sinners like you and me who so desperately need it. So David had a deep longing for forgiveness. David had a deep longing for spiritual renewal. Thirdly, David has a deep longing to share the good news of forgiveness. Listen to verse 13 and 14. "Then will I teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise." Do you hear that? He has a deep longing to share the gospel with others, the good news of forgiveness. He says that what is needed is that this blood guiltiness would be taken away. Literally, it says in the Hebrews, "bloods." That means blood that is shed. Murder. Take the guilt of the murder away, and what will it do? Lord, open my lips so that I can speak. So that I can speak about the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. And sinners will be converted. They will be converted. David sees his need that the Lord would open his lips. Do you feel that too? Are your lips closed maybe tonight about the beauty and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done to your soul? Why is that? Why are our lips so often closed? Why is there not this desire that David has at times? Are we not living out of the glorious power that God gives and promises to all those who flee to Him, call upon Him for His Holy Spirit? Is it perhaps because we are rejoicing not in the salvation but in ourselves? Not in His salvation. Are we leaning on His Spirit? In John 15 it says so many things about the Spirit. That all those things when they happen, that your joy may be full. And if your joy is full, then it goes, right? You will open your lips. When the Spirit comes down, you will speak. Do we perhaps doubt that God is willing to give His Spirit when we ask it? Is that maybe someone's problem here tonight? Are you deeply longing for spiritual renewal tonight? Or has salvation become something stale, something boring, something not so attractive? You know what that shows? Unrepentant sin. You're walking away from God, not toward God. That's what it shows. It shows a selfish and unbroken and proud heart. We need a broken heart. We need a humble heart. We need a repentant heart. And if we truly have a repentant heart, our mouths will be open and sinners are going to be converted. They are. David is assured of it. And we can be assured as much as it says here in the Bible. because he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write this song. It's sin that hinders our joy. He wants to sing of God's righteousness. Is that what you want tonight also? Speak and sing of this glorious Savior. Oh, then you need His grace of repentance that gives a broken heart. And that's what David speaks about next when we see that the fourth thing here, that he has a deep longing, true repentance has a deep longing for acceptance with God. Verses 16, 17, and 19. Listen to these verses. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. And then also these words in verse 19. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. What is David saying here? Have you ever been confused about this? First, he says, well, no physical sacrifices. Thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. And then he writes in verse 19, there will be sacrifices that please God, and we will offer them. How is that possible? Isn't that contradictory? Well, no, it's not, if we understand what he is saying here. The first thing we need to realize here is about the sacrificial system. David realized that the sacrificial system couldn't do what God promises, namely to forgive sin because of the blood of that lamb. He understood that. He understood something more was needed. And as such, he's looking to the Lamb of God, to Jesus Christ. And that's why he says here in this verse that sacrifice can please God. But there's something more. Because David knew the law. He knew the law, and he knew how he had broken the law, and he knew the prescribed sacrifice for this sin and that sin and the other sin. But he also knew that the sins he had committed, murder and adultery, there were no prescribed sacrifices. You know what was prescribed? Death. Death. And David knew it. My sin is so wicked that really I need to be blotted out of the book of God. I need to die. And so he says, Lord, if there were any prescribed sacrifices that I knew of, I would give it. I would make them right away ready. And I would sacrifice to the Lord, and I would trust that thou hast forgiven my sin. But there is none. I ought to be killed. That's how wicked my sins are. He realizes that whatever rituals I do, it's not going to please the Lord. No, and so just as he knew from God's word that when circumcision was done in the Old Testament, that God wanted the circumcision of the heart, so David also realized that God doesn't want just rituals, just a sacrifice. No, God wants sacrifices that come from the heart. And so the only thing that David can offer is what? A heart that is crushed. The sacrifices of God are a broken heart and a broken and a contrite heart. Thou wilt not despise. David knows it. A broken heart, a humble heart that is ashamed, that is repenting truly before a holy God. That is actually pleasing before God, not because of the repentance, but ultimately only because of that one sacrifice. Because David knew there was no sacrifice in the law prescribed. Oh, but there is one sacrifice that cleanses all the sin that David has committed. Murderous, adulterous, wicked, sins that you and I have committed against the most holy God can be forgiven. Why? Because there is a sacrifice made on Golgotha's cross. A sacrifice made by the precious Lord Jesus Christ. And if we have seen that Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, and we have seen Him by faith, then we will sacrifice in another way. And then God will certainly receive those sacrifices that we bring. The burnt offering he talks about in verse 19. And the peace offering. What does that mean? If we have seen the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, then the burnt offering. In the burnt offering, the sinner came, trusting in the blood, pointing to the blood of Jesus Christ. He came and said, "Lord, here am I. I surrender all. Take me. Take my life. Let it be consecrated, Lord, entirely to Thee." That's the burnt sacrifice. Pleases God. And then the whole burnt offering, which is the peace offering. What did that say? That was God's answer to someone who said, "Lord, take me entirely. I can't do it on my own." That peace offering, or the whole burnt offering, was saying God is approaching the sinner with peace. Relationship is restored. David knows that when everything that is broken is restored by the blood of Jesus Christ, ultimately by the blood of Jesus Christ only, by those sacrifices where we surrender all, where God comes and speaks peace to our souls on the basis of the sacrifice ultimately made by Jesus Christ, then He is accepted. And that's His deep desire. That's the deep desire of everyone who truly repents, to be accepted back into God's presence, accepted in Jesus Christ the Beloved. And then we will begin to sacrifices unto the Lord. Remember? Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, by this overflowing mercy shown to us in the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice unto the Lord. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God." By the mercies of God. It's only reasonable that you and I give ourselves wholeheartedly, entirely, holding nothing back, and say, "Lord, here am I, take me, use me for the glory of Thy holy name." And we lay ourselves on the altar and sacrifice ourselves unto the Lord because of His glorious mercy shown to us in Jesus Christ. And we know that such sacrifices are accepted by God as He transforms us, renews our minds, so that we are not conformed to this world, but be transformed, and we may know more and more, this is good, that's acceptable to the Lord, and that's perfect. This is the will of God, I know. Is that your deep longing tonight? If so, that is an evidence of true repentance. And that there is one more. That's the final one. True repentance, we see the evidence in a deep longing to see God's people prosper. Verses 18 and 19. When you and I are renewed. We desire what David says here. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. That's the desire of every brokenhearted and repentant sinner tonight. Because all our desires are brokenhearted desires when God has worked. Jonathan Edwards said it so beautifully. All gracious affections, feelings and emotions that is and everything in us, our desires that are a sweet aroma to Christ are brokenhearted affections. A truly Christian love, either to God or to men, is a humble, brokenhearted love. The desire of the saints, however earnest, are humble desires. Their hope is a humble hope, and their joy, even when it's unspeakable, full of glory, it's a humble, brokenhearted joy. Why is that so? And why is that so that then God's people will prosper? Because a broken heart is being delivered from the tyranny of self. That's why. Do you feel that like that sometimes? The tyranny of self. The bondage. And when God comes, He crushes our hearts. He humbles us deeply. And then we are going to desire for what we were created for. Desire God. And desire the good of others. Only then. And then we pray with David, please, Lord, do good unto Zion. And then we say, Lord, hear my willing sacrifice. Make God's people prosper. There's no doubt that God answers such prayers because of His mercies, because of His sacrifice, because of the promise that He has made. I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against her. Whatever happens, the church is going to be built. In Isaiah 49, there was the question asked, has the Lord forgotten Zion? Maybe there's someone here tonight. Has the Lord forgotten Zion? What was God's answer? Do you remember? Two things. I've graven them on the palm of my hands. Whose hand? Jesus Christ's hand. That hand that suffered and was nailed to the cross, from which the wounds flow the blood. Those wounded hands. There He has graven the names of all sinners saved by His sovereign grace. Sinners, desperate sinners like David. He's graven their names there. And so they can never be wiped out. That's why Zion will prosper. Zion will prosper. But the second thing that God said to His people who were wondering at that time, what will happen? What will happen to Zion? What did God say? Thy walls are continually before me. God is keeping His eyes upon the church. This church, any church. God is keeping His eyes upon the church universal. And His eyes will keep His church. And His desire and delight is ultimately to prosper the church and to rebuild her walls. How does He do that? He breaks the sins of pride, the sin of the walls of separation and sin. He breaks those down in our lives. And as those walls of resistance and sin and separation and pride come down, what happens? The walls of Zion are built up. That's how it works. That's how it works. Never forget that. When our walls come down, the walls of the church are built up. And the church will prosper. Amen. Let's pray together. Oh, gracious God, truly come with spiritual renewal, with power to revive our souls tonight. In the service of the Lord, in the grace of true repentance, Lord, revive Thy people, that they would rejoice in God. Build up Thy church, so that once again Thy glory would be seen, O Lord, and tasted that Thou art good and gracious. Will Thou accept, Lord, our sacrifice? May it be such sacrifice as please Thee, a wholehearted surrender of everything. O God, deliver us from half-hearted service. Unclog our hearts from all the sins that make our lips silent. And help us to speak boldly as we ought to speak for the glory of Thy holy name. And to sing of Thy righteousness. Hear and help, heal and restore for Thy great name's sake, for Christ's sake. Amen.